The topic today is character in focus. Say character in focus. Now, you think, oh, my goodness, lesson on character is going to be heavy. It won't be heavy. It's going to be informative. And thing is about what God does, everything God requires, he provides. Everything God requires, he provides. Say that. Everything God requires, he provides. And so that we say character is a gift. We're gifted in Christ, and it's revealed through grace. So Jesus provides it, and grace makes it available to you. Grace is everything that God has that he makes available to us. And so the character that we need, we have it in Christ. And even though we have it, we want to walk in it. Sometimes people know about things, but yet we don't really use those things that we know. The Bible says, first of all, let's go to our first two scriptures, Proverbs 10 and John 17. Let's read together, please, Proverbs 10, verse 9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. See it? Read again. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. That sounds good, doesn't it? Because sometimes for lack of integrity and character, then there's less security in the sense, not so much personal security from dangers, as much as it is secure in your purpose, secure in what God wants you to do, secure in what you want to do in life. Next is what Jesus said, read please, John 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So we have, now sanctify is a word that means set apart, set apart. You know, today we're here, we're dressed casual. We have, coats and ties, or just casual in shirts. We're all relaxed in here. You came as you are, which is acceptable. But I'm sure that, for example, this suit I have on here, I don't wear this suit when I go work in my yard. Okay? When I used to work in the yard. I retired from working in the yard. I hired a guy, okay? I ain't got time for that anymore. But when I worked in the yard, I would not wear a suit because this is sanctified, set apart for business, right? For ministering, for doing transactions at the bank and making presentations. So my point is the word sanctify is not a religious term. It just means set apart. Well, the thing is, you don't have a different life you can put on. It's just one of you, right? So when we're sanctified or set apart, it's our total being, spirit, soul, body. So Jesus said he prayed, Lord, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Yes. See, lies are what destroy people. Yes. Truth is what saves people. Yes. That's right. So listen, y'all, Jesus prayed for us to be set apart by truth. Not by lies. And yet people lie to you. You lie to yourself sometimes about who you really are. We degrade ourselves. Other folk degrade us. We believe the wrong things about ourselves. Those are all lies. Jesus' prayer was, and by the way, all his prayers get answered. His prayer was, Lord, sanctify them, the disciples, the Christians, those who've come to him. Now, he can't sanctify people who haven't come to him now. Amen. Let's be clear about that. Amen. He can only set apart people who have come to him and said, Jesus, help me. Yeah. Save me, Lord. Well, then, okay, I'll save you, I'll help you, and I'll set you apart. Then he says, your word is truth. The Bible, the scriptures, what the Bible teaches, that is the truth. So connect the dots. Jesus said, come to me, he said, he prayed, Lord, set them apart by your truth. Then he said, your word is truth. So then if we're not reading the Bible and in Bible study and services and hearing the word of God preached and taught, then how can we experience what Jesus prayed? Unless we get in position. Say, get in position. Get in position. Amen. Get in position, see. And once you get in position, you're good to go. He just takes you on and helps you. It's good, isn't it? Amen. Whatever God requires, he provides. Don't forget that. Because the grace of God is not what you do. It's what God has done that we can receive. Next scripture, Philippians chapter 1. In verse 9, it says this. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So again, here's Paul now praying. We heard Jesus' prayer. Here's what Paul prayed, and I pray the same for you, that our love will abound. He says, more and more in knowledge. You know, if your love is not growing, if you don't have love, what do you have? I mean, love is that ability to treat people well, to have the best intentions. You know, God loved us so much he gave his only begotten son. He proved the love of God. He defined love by his action. So we also want our love to grow and abound. Then he said this, in all knowledge and discernment. Now get this, young folk. Discernment is to know the difference between what's good and bad, what's bitter and sweet, what's light and dark. Because some stuff that's presented to you as good is actually bad. And so without discernment, you can't understand that advertisement you're looking at. That, no, don't get excited about that. Ooh, it's free. It's like I always tell you, the trip on the slave ship was free. All that free stuff, be careful of that free stuff. It just gets you in there, you can't get out. So then, but he's saying here that we're going to abound in love, in all knowledge and discernment. Look at verse 10. That you may approve the things that are excellent. See, God will show you what to leave alone. He'll show you the true value of things. We are too easily impressed with stuff and with people. Don't be impressed with anybody except Jesus. Love people. Be respectful to people. But sometimes you get impressed. Oh, he's cute. That's a big one back in my day. He's cute. She cute. She fine. He's cute and she's fine. And they broke. He don't have a job. He don't have a car. Come on, somebody. I mean, when he should have one, you know what I'm saying? But he cute. Yeah, he cute. You're going to pay for everything. You're going to pay for his car. He can't carry none of his own responsibility. But he's cute. Like I always tell you, young ladies, the man of your dreams might have a short leg. Walk like this. He might still be cute. Short leg. But he got a job. He'll love you with all of his heart. He'll protect you. Don't go for perfection. Don't even be deceived by anything. The Bible says that you may approve of the things that are excellent. See, excellence is something that you have to learn to appreciate. Because we're impressed with things that are shiny. But God will teach you how to approve of excellent things. So character, our lesson in on character, character in focus, is all about when your character becomes developed, you'll know what's for you. You'll know what's not for you. You can discern and walk in love when your character is at the place where God has called you to come to. Isaiah 55, another scripture almost here before I get into my points here. I'm going to give you 20, not today, all of them, but I'm going to give you 20 character qualities, some of which today, the rest for later. Isaiah 55, let's read together from verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Statement of fact. God is saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, of course not. Thank God. God is God. But the point is, whatever you're thinking, God has higher thoughts. He says, your ways are not my ways. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. He didn't say that to make you feel small and insignificant. He said that, listen to me, to invite you up higher. He's saying that to invite you to come to a higher place of thinking and a higher place of acting, a higher place of your behavior. So when he said, my thoughts are higher, my ways are higher, he's telling you, come on up here. I'm going to show you something better. I'm going to show you something you've not seen before. Amen. So we can approve the things that are excellent because God himself has called us up to higher thoughts in higher ways. Say, Lord, thank you for inviting me up to higher thoughts in higher ways. Amen, somebody? And that is, to me, a remarkable scripture. You know, whenever somebody who has expertise and knowledge invites you into that realm, you should be honored. Take full advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? We're having a workshop on photography with my son Jonathan. You're invited. If you come, ooh, you're going to be glad you came. Whenever you experience something you haven't experienced before, at a different, higher level, it really opens you up to other opportunities. Once you get in the, listen, y'all, you get in the habit of thinking better and doing better, everything just begins to go up in your whole life. Your whole life begins to come up. And so your character, then, is the basis of all your decisions. See, if my character was not where it's supposed to be, I would not want to come up high. The thing about the wrong kind of character is it becomes content, it becomes complacent, which is the feeling that, you know what, I'm fine, I'm good. No, you're not good enough. There's more for you. There's more for you in life. There's more for you in how you handle your thoughts, how you handle your money. There's more for you in your career. There's more. Say, there's more for me. And so the gateway into what God has for you is to let him do what he promised he would do. Let him do what Jesus, he sent Jesus to do. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. He said in verse 14, I write, Apostle Paul writing to his spiritual son Timothy, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So the Apostle Paul, who was an overseer over churches, he oversaw even pastors like Timothy, and he gave him and the whole church the instructions that let me write to you, let me give you some instruction, some guidance, that you will know, you can know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. You know, I was raised, my parents instructed me on things. I couldn't walk between two adults who were having a conversation, just walk right through them, like, oh, ho, back up. Hey, back up, boy. Excuse yourself and walk behind us. Simple stuff like that. Courtesies. Things that we all teach our children. But yet society has lost these things. There's a lot of problems and issues because people haven't even been taught the basics of courtesy. But again, we can't just lay blame and be upset with young folk who've never been taught. So then we need to teach and encourage and mentor, don't we? Make up the difference. But as regards to church, Paul said that I write these things, you know, his epistles, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Thessalonians, the whole New Testament's written one way or another to give us guidance, to help us in our character. So our character, as it's developed in the church and among the people of God, we can actually learn a lot at church. We learn a lot of behavior. Listen, a lot of social behavior we learn at church. We learn how to respect people, how to be among people. We learn a lot just being at church, and we can make mistakes here. Amen. And be forgiven. Amen. Or corrected. Sometimes make the same mistake on the job and you out of there. Yeah. I'll never forget, I had a job. You know the story. My first really good job. I was still in college. I was an assistant marketing administrator. Whatever that was. I looked it up. I learned about it. First day at work, had my suit in an empty briefcase. I put two textbooks in there, you know, give it some weight. I'm telling you, it's an amazing opportunity for me. I was hired based on my talent and my portfolio. I was an art student at John Herron back then, so they liked my work, and I presented well in the interview, and they hired me. And so one day, the administrator, I'm the assistant marketing, the administrator gave me an assignment. I need this by tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And so tomorrow 10 o'clock came. He's like, well, let me have it. It's not finished yet. It's not finished yet. See, in my world, tomorrow at 10 o'clock didn't really mean tomorrow at 10 o'clock. It meant somewhere around that, somewhere maybe 11, maybe 12. See, I grew up at 34th and Sherman Drive, okay? Now, ain't no bad reflection on that area, but that my mindset, I'm telling you, in my mind, he don't really mean tomorrow at 10 a.m. He means sometime tomorrow. All he said was, that won't do. And I was fired the next day. Like, well, they must be racist. No. Yeah, they racist. That's what they racist. They racist. They racist. No, Doc, you raggedy. You're late. Now, I learned a big lesson. I'm telling you about the lesson, right? These are things you have to understand. Someone has to teach us how to conduct ourselves. So we're late at stuff. We're late doing things at church and all that. There's grace and mercy for that. We're here to help you understand in the real world that stuff won't work. That won't do. That, like he said, that won't do. I couldn't believe I was gone that quickly. I could not believe it. It just seemed wrong. Like, this ain't right. No, he said tomorrow at 10. I said, yes. He came and said, where is it? I said, it's not ready yet. He said, that won't do. And I was gone next day. Now, most time, it doesn't happen like that, see. But don't act like, listen, people, your character is this. If your character is where it's supposed to be, if he say 10 o'clock tomorrow and you say, I'll have it at 10 o'clock tomorrow, you have it at 10 o'clock tomorrow. That's all there is to it. End of story. And that's why sometimes folk do. There are jobs where you can just do stuff anytime tomorrow. Not many, actually. You can't even flip burgers late nowadays. You got, you know, order come through, drive through. You can get fired from flipping the burger late. People don't have time. Point is, we want to recognize what Proverbs says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Remember that? First scripture. Proverbs 10 and 9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. You'll be secure. And besides that, I could have had it done by the time I said. But my habits, my character had not been developed. Now, today is, of course, a lot different. For a long time, I do things when I say I'm going to do things. If I can't get it done, you'll hear from me long before it's due. And I do make mistakes, all of us do, but never mistakes of character. Amen, somebody? I told a guy a couple days ago, I'd meet him at my house, a guy coming to check out my house and do some work. I said, I'd be there in 5 minutes. And I was 3 minutes away. But I got behind an accident that backed up traffic on a normally clear road. So I text a guy and said I'll be there later because I'm behind an accident. Traffic's not moving. He said, no problem. How easy is that? Right. And nowadays, we in the old days, you couldn't text people. Amen, somebody? We got no excuse for not showing up, not giving people notice. Come on, somebody. Amen, somebody. Had a friend of mine, this is so my wife and I said, listen, I forget stuff. I'm not perfect. See, forgetting and having mistakes is not a character flaw. Wife and I were having, I think it was our anniversary dinner over at, where we go? No, the place downtown, the famous place. St. Elmo's, yeah, St. Elmo's. So I'm ordering my steak and that shrimp thing, you know. Man, where's St. Elmo, St. Elmo's, you know? But I'm supposed to meet somebody at 5 o'clock at here at the church, you know, friend of mine. But the steak thing, the Elmo's thing came up like at 3 o'clock. In other words, an opening came up, an opening to get a reservation for 5 o'clock. So I jumped on it. So I'm at St. Elmo's. And so I take a picture of my shrimp cocktail on my phone, put it on Facebook, and my friend saw that. He's like, dude, where are you? I said, oh, man. Oh, God. You know, I mean, sometimes, again, not a character problem. That was a mistake. See, we make mistakes. And I apologized to him profusely. I said, man, I'm so sorry. You know, anniversary today. I thought we can do this dinner later. It came. I explained it. So my point is, yes, we do make mistakes. And that's no reflection on character. So don't get caught up on this. Don't beat yourself down. We all make mistakes. But it's one thing to make mistakes, a different thing to have no consideration of your responsibility and your obligations. All right. Let's define now the word character. Webster's defines the word character as mental, moral, and spiritual qualities distinctive to an individual. Strength and originality in a person's nature, a person's good reputation. Now notice that character doesn't always mean good character, because a person could have a mental, moral, and spiritual qualities distinctive that's not good. They can have bad qualities, right? But we generally speak of character in a good way. So the last part says good reputation. So that's a good definition. So we want good character. We all have character. Our character is one way or another. Our character is obviously, specifically, distinctively, our individual traits. But we want that to amount to being something good and godly. Because everybody has character, but is it good character? Is it appropriate character for what you're doing and where you are and who you are? Now, the Bible definition, the Greek word for character, dokime is the Greek word. It means this: approved, tried character, a specimen of tried worth, proved through affliction. That's the sense of the word character as it's used here. Matter of fact, there's a scripture where Paul talks about Timothy and makes the point that he's a man of proven character. So the Bible doesn't use the word character a lot, but it's used there. He's a man of proven character. So when you're proven, it means that you've been through affliction. You've had difficulty. You have had challenges. But you rose up to do the right thing anyway. In some ways, it takes a fire. It takes trials to show our character. Anybody can be nice and do the right thing when there's no pressure. But when the pressure is on, when the heat is on, then we find out what's on the inside of us. I'm going to show you a video. by Tyler Perry. He spoke at a commencement at a college. Let me show you a little clip, what I think is a very inspirational talk.
I ended up homeless. I ended up out on the street with no money and nothing to my name. My intention was just to make enough money to be able to take care of my mother. That's all I wanted to do. That was my goal. I had written my first play. It was called I Know I've Been Changed. I put the show up, working, used car, bill collector. I thought 1,200 people would show up that weekend, but only 30 showed up. My car payment, rent, everything was tied up in this. But I knew it's what I was supposed to be doing. I knew that I was on a good foundation. When I was growing up, my father was a carpenter. He would take me to work with him. And in the summertime, you know, it was really hot, and I'd be out there with him, and he'd be building these houses. And the part that I hated most about this was when we had to put in the foundation. It was painstaking, you know, digging these holes. Then you had to tie the steel, and after all that work was done, you just poured concrete over it. And here's the thing, nobody ever saw it. All that work was done, and nobody ever saw it. No one ever cared about the foundation. The only time you hear someone talk about the foundation is when a house is falling apart. But when the foundation is done right, nobody mentions it. And when it's done right, it can carry the weight of anything that it was designed to hold. What you were building had to be strong enough to support the weight of whatever you could dream. And if you're like me, you are a huge dreamer. You had to have a foundation that is big enough and strong enough and bold enough to hold all of your dreams and handle them coming true. I need to warn you, it takes a while to build a dream. When you get out there in the world, I want you to remember something. What's in the well will come up in the bucket. So today I want to challenge you to know your intention as to why you do what you do. And I promise you, if your intention is right, you will be successful. But let me warn you what will happen when you're successful. Because I don't want you to get out there and get caught off guard. At first, you're going to be celebrated. But when your success surpasses what your peers expect of you, then you will become a target. So now that you have set your intention, now that you have your foundation, let's talk about how to stay on course when the attacks come. As an artist, this is the art that I want to paint. Just as I will never do it, don't you ever change one brushstroke on your canvas because somebody doesn't like what you paint. You have the foundation. Know your intention. Know that it's not going to be easy, but just keep yourself on track. Know the value of what is already down in your well.
Excellent. And he knows wherever he speaks. Very successful, brother. And so I like that phrase, that what is in the well will come up in the bucket. Character. We all have character, like I said. And so whatever your character is, your well from which you draw. All that you believe, all that motivates you and that you dream about, I mean, what your habits, everything you are is in that well called character. Now, the thing about it, we all have to grow and learn. We make mistakes. I shared one I made with you because we all have to learn from our mistakes. Most of all, we want to let Jesus do in us what God sent him to do in us. Y'all receive that? Again, he said, sanctify them by your truth, Lord. Your word is truth. So that to the extent we get the word of God in us and wisdom of God in us, you have something from which to draw. You know, when you're in class, the whole point to being in class is you're learning material, you're reading books, you're doing examinations, lab work, whatever it might be. And then the thing called a test comes along. An exam. The only purpose for the test is to allow you to shine. Because you've been putting stuff in your well, and so then the test is the chance to get your bucket and pull up from the well of your learning and answer the questions and ace the test because you learned the lessons. You paid attention. The test isn't designed to embarrass you. It can be embarrassing. But it's not designed to make you feel bad. It can make you feel bad. But the thing is, if a character in life, as in the test, we just put the things in that belong in us, you will be ready for the test. You know how it is. You know if you're ready for a test or not. People ask you, how'd you do? I did great. How'd you do? I don't know what I did. You don't know. How can you not know how you did in the test? If you're ready for the test, you know how you did. Amen? Now, my concern was that I might, overthink a question. I had a question, a very simple question. I got it wrong. I said, Professor, I said, listen, man, I missed this. He said, Brian, you're overthinking the question. He was right. I had to answer the first time. I kept examining it and parsing it. This word means that. I just messed myself up. But here's the thing, though. I want you to let Jesus do in you what God sent him to do. That is to set you apart by the word. And his word is what? Truth. What's your name, sister? Tamika. Your name is Betty. Yeah, Betty. I'm calling you Betty. No, I'm Betty. What's your name? Betty. It's not Betty? Why is your name not Betty? That's not the truth, right? You can't lie to somebody who knows the truth. This is why ignorance is bad. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. When you don't have knowledge, people will try to give you knowledge. They'll try to, put stuff on you and in you that's not you. But Jesus said, I have prayed. I want you to be set apart, sanctified by truth. Your word is truth. So when you know who you are, whose you are, what you have, because you've read the word, you've trusted the Lord, you serve God, you are very clear about what's truth in your life. Amen, somebody? That is so important, young people, all people, to be clear about truth so nobody can lie to you. God said, he said, I love you. You cute, I love you. You love me. Now, you've already seen how he acts. You know how he acts around people, how he treats other people. Oh, but you love me. Didn't you tell her you loved her yesterday? I heard that from, she told me herself. You love me today and love her yesterday? Come on, somebody. So, people will say things. It's your responsibility to be discerning, to discern. Discern, okay? What are you talking about here? Do you really love me or do you lust me? Oh, you say in love, but you mean really something else. See, these are things we deal with in life, don't we? But that our character will help us navigate successfully all this stuff. Abraham Lincoln said this, reputation is the shadow. Character is the tree. Good, isn't it? Billy Graham said, the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or the material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. The great Billy Graham said that. Albert Einstein said this, weakness of attitude becomes weakness of character. But he had a problem. He divorced his wife and married his cousin. So sometimes folks say stuff, but are you living what you're talking about? Because that's a big thing now. By the way, his cousin was named Einstein. I mean, her mother were sisters, and her fathers were first cousins. So she was named Einstein. when he married her. But he was a great scientist. Just keep that in mind and keep it over there. Science. Right? The basketball player, he's a basketball player. Let him play ball. Just dribble the ball. Now, some guys have character over in court. Some guys do. Some guys don't. A lot of guys do have character. But I'm saying, don't get caught up in celebrity or think that celebrity equates to high character. So these are phrases to think about, words of wisdom, but yet also perspective as well. Now, let me give you 20 character qualities. I'm going to give you all 20 at one time and then come back and talk about four or five of them. Here's all 20 character qualities. And there's more than this, but I'll give you these 20. Integrity, honesty, loyalty, respectfulness, responsibility, humility, compassion, fairness, forgiveness, authenticity, courageousness, generosity, perseverance, politeness, kindness, loving kindness, or lovingness, optimism, reliability, conscientiousness, and self-discipline. Those are 20 character qualities. And I forgot the source I got this from. It'll be in my notes in the podcast on tomorrow. Let me give you first words, integrity. Say integrity.
Integrity.
Integrity is having strong moral principles and core values and then conducting your life with those as your guide. When you have integrity, your main adherence, you maintain your adherence to, when you have integrity, you maintain your adherence to it, whether or not other people are watching. Got a typo in there. So integrity is a personal set of guidelines, rules by which you live, internal compass. And think about integrity is you don't have to have someone watching over you. Matter of fact, the old saying is when we had a preschool, I had employees, you learn this as an employer, that people don't do what you expect, they do what you inspect. But not all of them. Because see, some people get to a point where you don't have to inspect them or watch them. Some folk only work when you're watching them. You know what I'm saying? But people of character work when you're not looking at them. People of character are doing the right thing because that's their guideline. Walter Payton, great football player, old school. Well, to us, he's old school now. Walter Payton, Chicago Bear running back. The guys know who he is and how great he was. And this man played a number of years and rushed 17,000 yards, played every single game, maybe only missed one because of injury. The man never held out for a contract dispute. Now, times have changed. Holding out isn't always wrong because the people with the contract got bad motive too. But back then, you know, owners and players are more upright, but Walter Payton never held out for a contract. In fact, he said this. He says, if you don't want to work, don't hire out. The man came to work. And not just that, when he trained running up these sand dunes in, southern, Indiana has these sand dunes on the southern coast of Lake Michigan. I mean, big mounds of sand. Running through sand is hard, right? Running up a hill in sand is harder. He trained running up these almost mountains of sand. That's how he trained. And folks said, Walt, we're going to train with you. He said, come on. Train with me. He started running them hills, up hills of sand. And the harder you run, the deeper your leg goes in. They all dropped off. All them folks said, we're going to run with you, Walter. They were gone before long because Walter's character and work ethic was just almost incomprehensible. My point there is his integrity. He wasn't trying to make you run the hill. He said, I'm going to run the hill. This is what I got to do to get myself ready. And the man was tough, wasn't he? Yeah. You see him run. Some guys would run and go out of bounds before they get hit. He wouldn't do that. He'd run down the sideline and could step. He would run into you. He'd make you sorry for coming up there. You know, all I'm saying is everybody shouldn't do that. Some guys step out because they want to, you know, play longer. They aren't as fit or as strong. They can't handle getting hit. All I'm saying is whatever your character is, whatever your internal compass, whatever guides you, let God develop that in you and you live by it. Say, Father, help me live by my integrity. If I walked behind you and didn't even know who you are, and money fell out your pocket, I just give it back to you. Now, no one would know $100 bill fell out your pocket, out your purse. Nobody saw it fall out but me. You don't know me. No one knows me. You know, we would all, wouldn't we, pick that money up, find that person, and give it back to them. I ain't hear no amen. That was not a unanimous amen. That was not a unanimous. Now, you know, you know what happened, though. Nobody here. But somebody, oh, praise the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. I was praying about $100 this morning. I was praying about that just this morning. And it fell out your pocket. I don't know who you are. You look rich to me. You won't miss it. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't really happen, but things like that happen. And your integrity is all you have. But guess what? Nobody sees. God always sees us. So why are we not paying attention to the fact that God sees us? We don't fudge on numbers and you know, mess around with things that, you know, that nobody would know, like God doesn't know. But more than that, I don't even care that God sees it. I know it. I don't need God looking at me. I'm looking at me. I know he sees me, but I'm looking at myself. I want to have integrity in dealing with people and work I do for people, whatever it is. So that's a character quality that's necessary. And Jesus will provide that. He gives us the grace for integrity. We must seize upon it. We must act on it. We must, you know, obviously do our part. We can't fake integrity. Number two, honesty. Honesty is more than telling the truth. It's living the truth. It is being straightforward and trustworthy in all of your interactions, relationships, and thoughts. Being honest requires self-honesty and authenticity. Honesty. Being truthful. Living the truth. You know, we tell the truth and we live the truth. Because obviously we can tell somebody anything and know that what we're saying is not exactly right. But we want to be honest. And again, those are like integrity. These are all related, obviously. So honesty is being straightforward. Sometimes people feed you information they think you ought to know. And sometimes that's their right. That's their prerogative. You ought not know more. But sometimes you should know more. Right. And folks aren't telling you more, and you know they're not telling you more. You know there's more. You just keep it to yourself. Okay. Got it. That's how you roll. Now, I don't believe in being super honest now. Like I tell you, the guy in church want to testify. He said, I got to confess, I've been lusting after all you sisters. We ain't want to hear that, man. That's ain't super honest. Don't tell everybody. There's a good reason why you shouldn't tell everybody everything on your mind. You know why you shouldn't do that? Because the Bible says a fool tells everybody everything on his mind. But the core honesty I'm talking about is, you know, things that deal with how we relate to one another, how we work with each other, how we inform each other, how we empower each other. We need to recognize honesty is a basic quality of character. There's no need to inflate and lie about things. How tall are you? Oh, I'm 6'1". You're 5'11". You want folk to think you're 6'1". Well, with my shoes on, I am. You know how to talk. Put some spikes on, boy. You'll be 4 inches higher. Put some women's spikes on, too, while you're at it. You can be 6'3". See, we want to embellish things for no reason. And the problem with, you know, a lack of honesty, or we call it lying, it's so deceptive and seductive because liars just can't stop lying. Especially if they think they got away with one. Like I tell you, raising my kids, man, could nobody lie? The whole world gonna stop until this come out, you know. Who broke the window? Whatever, broke the thing. I don't know. You break it? All right, TV off, lights, everybody have a seat. Now, my kids weren't liars or anything growing up, but all kids, little kids, they want to lie to get away with it. One time a girl at church broke the church mirror in the women's bathroom. Big mirror, you know, broke, cracked the mirror. Heard it crack, and she come out. You know, this young child. You break the mirror? No, didn't break the mirror. You break the mirror? No, didn't break the mirror. You know, so we have to say, have a seat, get your parents, let's sit down. What we'll sit down for? We got to get to the truth here. She needs to say she broke the mirror. You cannot let a child lie and get away with it. You just can't do it. You cannot. You got to stop. The world got to stop. Because lying is one of the worst things you can start. Man, if a child start lying, he's going to grow up one day, and I was going to say something about somebody in the White House, but I won't go there, okay? But if you let a child start lying, they're going to lie for their whole life. And lying, people lie, think they believe the lie. Man, lying is bad for obvious reasons to us, but mainly because of the character problem it brings. Because the thing about lying is liars are often smart people, but not even a liar who's smart can keep up and keep track of all the lies. And then there are people smarter than you. Come on now. You might be smart, but there are people smarter than you. They know you're lying. Now, it's best to go and just fess up. Because, you know, man, people of character who are smart, who know you're lying, they will forgive you if you come clean quickly with that. Or at least a day later, at least come back at some point. You know, man, I was lying about all that. I told you about my height and my weight and my income, my job, my degree. It was all a lie. That's pretty extreme, though, you know. But as a believer, if someone confessed and asked forgiveness, you must forgive them. You must forgive, and you should forgive them. It's a lot. I mean, for a liar to be delivered of lying, man, is a tremendous breakthrough for them. It really is. And so anybody who breaks through an area like that character issue of lying and become, you know, break that up and get some help on that, man, they're going to have a better life. Yes, sir. And there's so much lying going on today. You know this is true. At various levels of life, rich folk lie, poor folk lie, women, black, white, everybody lie. I mean, about something. And then, but the sooner we get a hold to that and let Jesus' character rise up in us, then we begin to check ourselves. Amen, somebody. Right. Honesty, say honesty.
Honesty.
Number three is loyalty. Loyalty is faithfulness and devotion to your loved ones, your friends, anyone with whom you have a trusted relationship. Loyalty can also extend to your employer, the organizations you belong to your community, and your country. Loyalty is so important. Loyalty and devotion. Loyalty is devotion, really. It is devotion to loved ones and associates and whomever you're connected to. They can know that you're a part of their life, you're part of the experience, and that, you know, they have no concern about you. They can be, they can rest, not take it for granted, but rest in the fact that, now that is a secure relationship right there. Amen. And that there's no fear, there's no concern. My wife knows we're loyal to each other, not because we've been married 39 years, but we have the character quality of loyalty. Character will allow us to have that loyalty of purpose, loyalty of heart. I didn't say blind devotion or blind loyalty. No such thing, really. Because people who are loyal don't lose discernment. If I make a mistake, my wife will see it and call me out. In fact, loyalty does not, in fact, cover up anything. Loyalty sees the opportunity to help one another. So loyalty is not some blind devotion. But loyalty is a character quality that we possess through the grace of God. One more, I'll give you respectfulness. Say respectfulness, or showing respect. You treat others with courtesy, kindness, deference, dignity, and civility. You offer basic respect as a sign of your value for the worth of all people. Okay, good. You look at people when they talk to you. This respect, right? Or respectfulness. You stand for elders when they come in the room, if it's appropriate. Respectful things, right? I mean, things that are kind of lost on our generation, all of us, old and young, look like we've lost that. But respectfulness does not negate discernment at all. It just says that my basic core character is to treat others with courtesy and kindness. Now Jesus had this, didn't he? Yes. But Jesus, on one day, he went into the temple and saw people there exchanging money and selling bad goods. There's all kind of wrong things being done in the temple. And Jesus, talking about Jesus, he got a switch, all right, a scourge, it was like a small whip, and he drove the people out and turned over the money changers' tables. Well, where is the respectfulness in that, Jesus? He said, my zeal is for the house of God. And you all have made it a den of thieves. So sometimes your greater respect for principle will cause you to deal with people, not disrespectfully, but in a manner in which is necessary. You bring correction. So you can listen, y'all. Your child could never say to you, you can't spank me. Why? Because you must be respectful to me. Oh, I'm going to spank you and respect you at the same time. And I'm going to respect the rules and the guideline we've established in this home, the things you said you would do, and this correction, not about a lack of respect. See, people want to twist things around, right? Use it against you. Yeah. So I'm not saying respectful people cannot handle things. Jesus handled that. He handled that situation. Amen. Imagine that, Jesus, turning over tables. He didn't say, everybody, would you please stop? Please, everybody, would you please stop? This is not right. Please. He didn't ask him. He just went in there. Jesus, y'all. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. He chased folk out of there. Hit them with little switches. Get out of here. Turned the tables over. Money went flying everywhere. And it wasn't out of control. Then listen, y'all, when you have to go there, as parents dealing with, you know, situations and punishment and all this and spanking, you're never out of control. You should never be out of control. It's all, you raise your voice. That's all by design. You raise it, you lower it. There's a method to all that madness. See, so that the point is, but respectfulness then begins with God. I respect God enough to help you. Amen. When people curse in my presence, I sometimes say, well, praise the Lord. We're out in public. He's saying whatever he's saying, blank the blank. I say, well, praise God. Hallelujah. I'll do it sometime. People are like, why are you doing that? Equal time. He said, God, this. I'm saying, praise the Lord. You know, I'm giving God. So whatever you're led to do, because sometimes you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And your silence is sometimes condoning what's going on. Not always. But your silence sometimes is condoning what should not be done. Amen? Father, thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for giving us insight.